Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
I know I've told this. I've told it everywhere. You can take a 30-second nap if you remember it. But I was invited to speak at the legislature, for the Georgia State Legislature, for their opening session several years ago. Tom Murphy, who had been the longest-running Speaker of the House of a state representative, invited me to give the opening address to the legislature. And so in his introduction, he pointed out, he said, "Now, all of you know that I'm not a member of the Church of Christ." And he introduced me, of course, as being a gospel preacher in the Churches of Christ. But he said, "I want to tell you something. If you want to hear good singing, you need to attend the Church of Christ." And I thought, what a great compliment to our brotherhood for someone to make a statement like that. And he's right. I'm going to tell you, we just sing, make melody in your hearts to the Lord. So thank you so very much for joining in our song service tonight. We are going to be studying in just a few minutes, "When I See the Blood." Now, as you and I think about the opportunities that we have, I appreciate Brother Smith encouraging you. Listen up, you know. But I thought about this little boy. He was about 4 years old, and he had a brother and a sister. I think he was four, and his parents had their children close together. He was four. I think there was one who was about three, and then one who was 1 year old, and it had just about worn his mother out. I mean, they had gone through all of these illnesses, you know, measles, whatever these children had, and she was just about worn out. So her parents got back with her and said, "Look, why don't you bring the children to stay with us, and you and your husband go somewhere and rest?" And so they were getting ready to take the children to the grandparents, and the little four-year-old asked his dad, he said, "Why are we going to Grandma and Grandpa's?" And he said, "Well, son, your mom and I need to go to someplace and rest." So they went to the grandparents, and his grandpa was a preacher. And so, of course, after the service, all the folks are making over the grandkids, you know. And so one of the members of the church asked the little boy, said, "Where is your mom and dad?" Well, he looked for Grandpa to kind of give a response to that. And Grandpa was busy talking to other people. Grandma was in the auditorium getting the communion cups to clean. And he sort of was looking there by himself. And he just simply said, "Well, they've gone to their place of rest." Well, you know, if you want to rest, that'll be good. But we thank you so much for being here this evening. Tomorrow night, our lesson is entitled, "Get a Life." John 10, verse 10, Jesus said, "I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." So hopefully you can come and study with us. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 16, most of you probably can memorize or already know this verse of Scripture. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." When you and I look at the Great Commission, and we know that our Lord Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 18, 19, and 20, He said, "All authority hath been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." Then in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, again you're very familiar with, our Lord said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, Paul said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sin, according to the Scriptures, how that He was buried and raised again the third day according to the Scripture." In the book of John, chapter number 15, the Bible says, "I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And he said also that if my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. When you and I go to the book of John, chapter number 1, and the Bible tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with him. All things were made by him, and was not anything made that was made. When you and I go to the book of Mark, chapter 1, and 2 verses there, verse number 1 and also verse number 14, the Bible speaks of the fact of the beginning of the gospel and the beginning of the kingdom. So when you and I look at that word gospel, I know that all of us are aware of the fact that that word simply means good news. And so as you and I, in looking at this particular lesson this evening, and as we think about the fact, and we look at when I see the blood, I want you to go back with me to the Old Testament. I want to go back to the book of Exodus, chapter number 12. What do you pray over this? That's not the right one. Okay. That's all right. Let's just go without it, all right? Because that's not the one. When I see the blood... Okay, I gave you the wrong one, brother. That's all right. There we go.
You had fairies down there.
I have. Okay. Had to dig a little bit. Okay. When I see the blood, when you and I go back to the Old Testament, and as you and I look at the blood in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 9. The Bible says almost all things are cleansed by the blood. Without the shedding of blood, the Bible says there's no remission. And then when you go to the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter number 10 that it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. And when you and I recognize that the writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter number 1, God who in sundry time and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us through His Son. So you and I look at Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And tonight, when you and I see the blood, there are three things that we're going to be looking at in just a few minutes. But go back with me to the book of Exodus, chapter number 12. The children of Israel have been in bondage for 430 years. Now God had sent Moses, and we studied this a little bit earlier. God sent Moses. Moses went to Pharaoh. Moses said, "Pharaoh, God said for you to let my people go." And if you remember, he said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him?" Now, you and I know that there were 10 plagues that were sent upon the Egyptians. Now God gave instruction to Moses, and he said, "Here is what I want you to do. And you can read all of this in the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus." He said, "I want you to take a lamb, a spotless lamb. It is to be put up for a certain number of days. Then once you take that lamb, which is a spotless lamb, then here's what you do. I want you to slit the throat of that lamb. You take the blood." Now, what they would do is they would just simply take a basin. They would slit the throat of the lamb, and they would drain that blood out into a basin. And then he said, "I want you to take that blood, and I want you to put it over the doorpost." And so then he said, "If there is too much for one family, you let other families come in, and then you eat that lamb." And God said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Now, when you and I look at Exodus 12, we see again a spotless lamb. We see not only a spotless lamb, but we see a sacrificial lamb. Because that lamb gave its blood, it sacrificed its blood for that blood to be put over the doorpost and for the children of Israel to be able to leave Egyptian bondage. Not only was it a sacrificial lamb, but it was a saving lamb. Now, when you and I read Exodus chapter 12, can you imagine? Here are the children of Israel. Moses said, now listen, here are the instructions I want to give you. Do you and I always follow instructions? You know, it's kind of interesting. We have, you know, I always follow instructions after it doesn't work the first time. Now, maybe that's the way you are, you know. I remember several years ago our hot water heater went out. And so I called our church technician, come up to my house and help me. I've got a problem with a hot water heater. And so when we looked at it and we fiddled around with it, tried to get it and didn't work, guess what we finally did? We got the instruction book. Now, instruction books will help you. Now, I've mentioned this before. I'm not technically minded. Mama said, get away from that wheelbarrow. You don't know nothing about machinery. I don't know much technology. And I remember several years ago, I was going to a gospel meeting in Op, Alabama. Man, let me tell you. Saturday night, I left the house. I said, I'm going to go through Fayetteville or Tyrone, stop and see the granddaughters for a few minutes. I'll leave there about 10 o'clock. It'll take me about 3 hours, maybe 3.5 to get down to Op. I'll get down there about 12:30, but then I get an hour back. You know how that works. And everything, boy, it's going to be great. So I head out down South 85 toward Montgomery, Alabama, 85. And about an hour into my trip on 85, I felt a bump, something. And I thought, oh, there's a problem. So I pulled over, happened to be at a truck waste station that was not operational that night, which was good. So I pulled over, and I got out of my car, and I looked at the left rear tire, and it was up. I looked at the left front tire driver, it was up. I looked at the right front tire, it was up. I looked at the rear tire on the right-hand side, and guess what? It was flat. Now, I thought, what am I going to do? And I thought, well, maybe I've got a spare. I did not even know where it was. I opened the trunk, and I took everything I had out of the trunk. And sure enough, there was a thing down there, you know, a piece of board or something over it. And I lifted it up, and there was a tire in there. I thought, well, isn't this great? And so I got it out, and I found there was a jack. And I got the jack out, and I got the tire out, and I thought, man, I hope this tire's got air in it, because I need it. And I got that jack out, and I put it on the side of the car, and I start to jack it up, and that car, have you ever had this happen to you? It began to sway. I thought, uh-oh, I am in deep trouble. What if that thing falls off there? Now, I know you smart aleck men in this audience tonight. You're saying, you got to be the dumbest guy we've ever known. But I'm going to tell you what I did. I opened the glove compartment of that car. And you know what I found in there? I found a book. It was an instruction book. My mouth was big enough I could hold a flashlight in my mouth. And I opened that instruction book. And I read the instructions as to how to change that tire. I got that jack and put it in a different place based on the instruction. Jacked that thing up. Now, it took me 45 minutes to get that thing, the bolt back on that thing, but I got them on there. And, man, I was proud of myself. I was dirty, but I was proud. I changed that tire. Now, how did I do that? I found an instruction book that told me how to do it. There are many individuals tonight who want to accomplish their salvation, but they are failing to look at the instruction book to find out what the Bible tells us in order to be saved. And so when Moses said to the children of Israel, here are the instructions, there had to be some smart aleck who said to Moses, oh, well now, boy, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to kill no lamb. You know, well, that's gory. Tell what I'm going to do, Moses. I tell what we're going to do. Instead of killing the lamb, tell what, Moses, we're going to get our lamb and we're going to place it at the front of the house where the entrance is, and we'll just place it there. Now God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And so now the fact that it has to be over the doorpost, that doesn't matter. That blood is in that animal, and when God sees that animal, He's going to pass over it. Now you and I know better than that. They had to take that lamb, and it became a saving lamb. The blood of that lamb became a saving lamb to the children of Israel to take them out of Egyptian bondage. And they took that blood and they put it over the doorpost. When you and I look at this, ladies and gentlemen, you and I must recognize the fact that as God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Here was a lamb that was a spotless lamb. Here was a lamb that was a sacrificial lamb. Here was a lamb that was a saving lamb. It took the blood of that lamb to save the children of Israel from bondage. Now, my friend, you can go back to the Old Testament. You'll say, well, now, Brother Acuff, that sounds pretty simple to me. Well, it is. Not only was it a saving lamb, but it was a shared lamb. Because that lamb, in the first part of Exodus chapter 12, if that lamb was too much for one family to eat, then it would be shared with another family. Now, I want you to see something. Because in Exodus chapter 12, we see the spotless lamb, we see the sacrificial lamb, we see the saving lamb, and we see also the shared lamb. Now, go with me to the New Testament. As we go to the book of John, John chapter number 1 and verse number 29, and what do we find? The Bible says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." When you and I look at John 1:29, and the Bible says, "Behold the Lamb of God," you and I know tonight, ladies and gentlemen, that Lamb of God in John 1 and verse number 29 was a spotless lamb. The Bible tells us we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. The Bible says that He knew no sin, 1 Peter chapter 2, neither was guile found in His mouth. We know that Jesus Christ is the only one who walked upon the face of this earth, and He was without sin. The Bible tells us that here was the spotless Son of God. Not only that, but He was sacrificial. You and I, as we read the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we go to that 26th chapter of the book of Matthew, and we see our Lord as He goes through six trials. You may want to study this on your own at some point, but do you realize that the trials that were held, these trials were held at night, and that right there was a violation of their law? They were not to be held at night. There were certain requirements that had to be followed in order to have a trial, but they paid no attention to that. And our Lord went before those six tribunals, and in the final summation of it, they said, "Crucify Him, crucify Him." And Pilate said, "I'm going to wash my hands of the matter." And He was crucified. Before that, He went into the Garden of Gethsemane. He took with Him Peter, James, and John. And the Bible says that in agony, our Lord, He left them. The Bible says that He went a little farther. And when you and I look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we look at the account of this, we see the various positions that our Lord had when He went into that garden and He prayed, "Lord, oh God, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done." He was a sacrificial lamb. He gave His life. They took the Lord Jesus Christ. They platted His crown of thorns, and they put that crown of thorns upon His head. And my friend, listen to this. I mean, it wasn't just kind of a light thing. I'm sure, can you just not see the fact that they would take that crown of thorns and just push it down on the head of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that the blood at that point would begin to flow out of His head and through His hair and down His cheeks? When they took and spit upon Him, when they took our Lord Jesus Christ and they beat Him within inches of it. See, our Lord was not beaten by the Jews. 39 stripes, save one. Our Lord was beaten, and the rule was this. One simple rule, and that is, do not kill Him. These individuals who had the responsibility of beating, they had what was called a flagellum, a cat of nine tails. And on the end of that, they would put little pieces of bone and little pieces of metal on the end of these leather straps. And they had this movement, the arm movement, the wrist, and they'd lay that on the back of the individual and twist it, pull it out. He suffered. When you and I think, I'm sure maybe some of you saw the movie years ago, Passion of Christ. I've been in homes and different places, or maybe in a store that sells pictures and maybe a bookstore, and on the wall you see this picture of Jesus. Have you ever seen this? And what do you see? You see a little cut here in the side, you know, with a little bit of blood. My friend, let me tell you, that does not even begin to tell the story of the sacrifice that our Lord went through, of the pain and the agony. That when they took that flagellum and they laid it on the back of our Lord, my friend, I like the description I told you the other day, Brother V.P. Black, when they did that, his shoulder blades looked like white caps in a sea of blood. He was a sacrificial lamb. He was a spotless lamb. But you and I need to see something else. He was a saving lamb. When you and I look and we go back in the book of John chapter 3 in verse number 16, a passage I'm sure that all of you again are familiar with. And the Bible says in John 3 and verse 16 that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible says God so loved the world. 1 John 4 verse 8, the Bible says God is love. My friend, listen to this. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I am the sinner. I am the one who is separated from God. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2, the Bible says the Lord's hand is not shortened that He cannot reach, neither are His ears heavy that He cannot hear, but your sin has separated between you and God. In Ecclesiastes 7 verse 20, the Bible says there's no man upon this earth that doeth good and sinneth not. The Bible says in Isaiah 53 verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every man to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. The Bible says that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says, this description is kind of interesting to me. The Bible says their throat is an open sepulcher. When you and I recognize that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was a spotless lamb, a sacrificial lamb, that it was by His blood, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered, and being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey Him. That if you and I tonight see the problem that we run into, and that is we fail to see the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is a saving lamb, and that it is through His blood that you and I are saved. I'm the sinner. I am the one who stands condemned. I am the one who is responsible. I am the one who will be damned in the day of judgment if those sins are not removed. I'm sure you've heard the story about this young kid in school. It was one of these schools where they'd had a hard time keeping a teacher. They were kind of a mischievous bunch. And so they'd had a hard time. Finally, they hired this fellow to teach, young man, but he had a lot of enthusiasm, had a lot of ideas. And so the first day of school, he said to the students, he said, "Now we're going to set some rules." And he went to the chalkboard and he said, "All right, give me some, we're going I'm going to let you help. We're going to set the rules." Well, they listed several things. And of course, one of the rules was no stealing. Go ahead and steal. One day, one of the students, they'd been out for recess, and when it came time for lunch, student went to the teacher and he said, "Teacher, my lunch is missing." And so the teacher said, "Okay, everything's going to stop until we find out what went on." And so finally, after a process of elimination, they found a young kid in the class, a young boy in the class. And that young boy was the one who had stolen the lunch. And the teacher said, "Son, come." Well, I mean, how? He said, I'm sorry. He said, "I was hungry." He said, "I haven't had anything to eat today. We're poor. I don't have any food." And he said, when we came in from recess, and they had their lunches up on a plateau there. And he said, "When I came in from recess, and I smelled the food," he said, I just couldn't resist." And the teacher said, "Son, you know what we've got to do?" He said, "Yes." "He know that you get 6 licks on your back for stealing?" He said, "Yes." So the teacher said to the young boy, "Son, take off your coat." When he took off his jacket, he did not have a shirt on. It exposed a very skinny body over bone. And when he got ready to give that first, the student in class whose lunch had been stolen stood up and he said, "Teacher, let me take the 6 licks for him." You see, ladies and gentlemen, I should be the one who has suffered. I am the sinner. And the Bible says it's not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. I am the sinner, therefore I am the one who should pay the cost. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I will pay that for you. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." And they sweat from his forehead as if it were drops of blood. And he said, "Let this cup pass from me." Can you not hear those words? Jesus Christ, he was a spotless lamb. Jesus Christ was a sacrificial lamb. Jesus Christ is a saving lamb. And Jesus Christ is a shared lamb because we have the responsibility of taking the message of salvation and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when you and I see that our Lord Jesus, that this, He is to be shared, there are many millions of individuals who will die and lose their soul if the gospel of Jesus Christ is not preached to them. See, this is not some kind of a, "Well, now, Brother Acuff, we might do it if we can get around to it." No. The Bible teaches Larry Acuff. The Bible teaches me to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Bible teaches me to take the message of salvation to as many individuals as I can find and help them to obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I see the blood, there are 3 things. When I see the blood, I see salvation. In Ephesians 1 and verse number 7, the Bible says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins." If you go to the book of Colossians chapter number 1 and you look at verses 13 and 14, the Bible says that He has delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins. As you and I go back to the Old Testament, as we see the blood that it was to be put over the doorpost, that it would save those people. And God said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." My friend, listen to this tonight. When God sees the blood applied to the soul of a man who is a sinner, "I'll pass over you." I'll save you. When you and I look at salvation, I want to ask you a question. My friend, listen. There's only one thing that will save Larry Acuff, and that is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you go back to that Old Testament passage, you remember in Exodus 12, and I said there was a basin, cut the lamb's throat, drained that blood out of there. And then we see John 1:29, and here, behold, the Lamb of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, hanging on that cross. I want to ask you a question. Is there a bucket of blood somewhere that was collected at the foot of the cross? Where is it? If the blood is saving us, in whom we have redemption through His blood, and that blood is saving us, is there somewhere here? Is there a refrigerator? You know, blood, life is in the blood, folks. Without blood, you and I, if blood does not go through our bodies. Several years ago, one of our members, the congregation where I was preaching, didn't show up for a Bible school, study and worship on Sunday. Oh, a day or two passed and no one had seen him and they'd been trying to reach him. And I'll never forget, there were two or three of us went to his apartment and we got the police to let us into his apartment. And when we got into his apartment, he was laying on the floor near his washer and dryer. He lived alone. And his body apparently had been a couple of days because that blood had stopped circulating through his body. And you could see how that blood had clotted in his veins and in his body and the spot and how that had taken place. You see, ladies and gentlemen, without blood, you and I are dead. You take a body to an embalmer, and what is he going to do? He's going to run that fluid through your body and he's going to run the blood out of it. Without that blood, I'm dead. I thought about the little girl. Her brother had a terrible illness. And the doctor said he needs an infusion of blood. But there was only a particular type of blood that he had. And they found out that his little sister was the only one who had that type that would benefit him. The daddy went to the little daughter. And he explained to her, he said, "Honey, your brother's very sick. And the only thing that's going to save him, and that is your blood, and what we're going to have to do, and we want you to understand, and we want you to agree to this." It's kind of hard for her to do that, but what they will do is they'll put you on one table, they'll put him on another, and they're going to run a transfusion from your body to his and take blood out of you and put it into him. With tears streaming down her eyes, she said, "I'll do it." So everything was set up in the operating room. They put everything they needed to transfer the blood from her body to his. And in a period of time, it's been going on for probably 45 minutes, and she finally looked at her dad and she said, "Dad, when will I die?" Her idea was, and she was willing to do it, she was willing to give her blood that her brother might live. My brother was willing to give his blood that I might live. Now then, I want to ask you this. How am I going to come into contact with that? I don't have, folks, there's not back here, there's a baptistry back, there's not a bucket of blood back there. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. It's not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin, in whom we have redemption through His blood. But what are we going to do? How are we going to come into contact with it? By the precious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. That's the only way. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. In Romans chapter number 6, the Bible says, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we're buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that this old man has been crucified, folks. And the blood of Jesus Christ. And then you go on down in Romans 6, and the Bible says, but God be thanked. You are the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered to you. What's that form? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If some individual, my friend, has said to you, all you have to do is pray the sinner's prayer, that individual has given you false information. And that false information will cause you to be lost eternally, because it is only the blood that will save. And there's only one way you and I can come into contact with the blood of Jesus. And that is through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot come. You can sit in that pew all night long, but the blood will not save you until you die to the world. And then you are buried in a watery grave and then resurrected to walk a new life. My friend, let me tell you something. You may have a... Somebody said, well, now, Brother Acuff, I'm waiting on a vision. Saul had a vision. It didn't save him. Well, now, Brother Acuff, I'm waiting to see the Lord. Brother Michael Shepherd, I don't know how many of you have ever heard Brother Michael, a great gospel preacher. Heard him tell this one time. Some lady said to him, said, now, Brother Michael, I saw the Lord. And Brother Michael said, well, what did he look like? He said, well, he had on a white outfit, and he had white glowing hair. And he said, look, sister, you didn't see the Lord. You saw Colonel Sanders. And so, you know, this idea that individuals... Well, see, if you'll read Acts chapter number 9, Saul saw the Lord. He had a vision, had a miracle. He couldn't see. When you look at everything, and you know what had to be done? God said, Ananias, I want you to go to the street called Straight. There's a man there. And he went and he preached the gospel to Saul. And he said, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. The only way that Larry Acuff can be saved, and that is through obedience to the gospel of Christ. My friend, if you have not obeyed, you're lost. You're separated from God. In just a few minutes, we're going to sing this song of encouragement. I want to encourage you to obey the gospel of Christ. When I see the blood, I see salvation. When I see the blood, I see the church. Well, now, Brother Acuff, I love Jesus, and I won't be a part of Jesus, but I ain't going to be in... Oh, my friend, what in the world is wrong with you? In the book of Acts, chapter number 20, remember what the Bible says? And Paul had called the elders of Ephesus together at Miletus, and he said, now you take heed unto yourself and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers to feed the church of God which He purchased with His own blood. The church has been bought by the blood of Jesus. It's not been... If you drive some of these church buildings and they have on the bottom... Founded by so-and-so. My friend, listen, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ was founded by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It had its beginning in Acts chapter 2. The price of it was the blood of the Lamb. And in Ephesians 5, 25 through 27, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, or any such thing. Do you not want to be a part of that? The church that has been bought by the blood of Jesus. My friend, I'm sure you do. There's one other thing I want you to see in our lesson tonight. When I see the blood, I see worship. The Bible says, you remember in Matthew 26? The Bible, our Lord Jesus Christ instituted the Lord's Supper. The Bible said He took the bread and He blessed it and He broke it and He gave it to them and He said, take eat, this is My body. He took the fruit of the vine, He blessed it, and He gave it to them, and He said, drink ye all of it. And so when you and I look every Sunday morning on the first day of the week, Acts 20 and verse 7, when the disciples came together to break bread, the Bible said Paul preached unto them. There are those individuals, well, now, they cuss you. You know, the church I go to, we only do it every 6 months, or, oh, you know what's going to happen in a few weeks? Easter Sunday. And, oh, they're going to make a big deal. We're going to have, and they'll have the Lord's Supper. I'm going to tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ instituted the Lord's Supper to be taken every Sunday. And you and I have the opportunity. It is beyond my imagination that members of the body of Jesus Christ will lay out on Sunday. They'll take a trip. They'll go shopping. They'll take a vacation from the Lord, they think, and not partake of the Lord's Supper when our Lord Jesus Christ died, that you and I could do that. Yes, when I see the blood, every first day of the week. Oh, well now, Brother Acuff, you know, the Bible doesn't say every first day. Oh, yeah. Well, you show it to me. Well, let me show it to you, okay? In 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Somebody said, well, that doesn't say every there. Let me ask you a question. Do you have a birthday? Yes. When's your birthday? Well, you give me a date. I'm going to tell you mine. You don't have to send me anything, but it'd be nice. I might have a birthday in July. July the 30th. Somebody said, what year? My friend, listen to this. Every year there is a 30th day of July, I have a birthday. Every time there is a first day of the week, we are to assemble around the Lord's table. Every time. Now, these same denominational people who will not partake of the Lord's Supper, I'll guarantee you they pass the collection every first day of the week. Based on 1 Corinthians 16. And I'm not a Greek scholar, but I did find out from those who are that the Greek terminology in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, upon the first day of the week, is the same Greek terminology found in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 7. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Will you submit to the will of God tonight? Hearing His Word as we have endeavored to preach it, believing it with all of your heart, and making the decision that you're going to change your life, that you're going to confess that precious name before this assembly tonight and to be baptized. Come, my friend, come into contact with the blood of Jesus. That is the only thing that will save you. Will you do it right now?